Everyone, and welcome to Ask the Horse Live. I'm your host, Haley Peffer, digital managing editor at thehorse.com. Horse owners often feed supplements to address gaps in their horse's diet that forage and concentrates might not meet, such as supporting joint comfort, hoof quality, or muscle recovery. Researchers suggest that supplements can be beneficial when a horse has a documented deficiency, such as low vitamin or mineral levels, or a clearly identified need, such as poor hoof quality. But how can owners choose the right supplement for their horse? This event is sponsored by Smart Equine. To answer your questions, we're joined by expert panelists Dr. Frank Andrews of Louisiana State University and Dr. Liz Schatz with Smart Equine. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you so much, Haley. It's good to be here.
Thank you, Haley. Glad to be here.
Dr. Andrews, can you start by telling us a little bit about your background?
Yes, Haley. So I'm Dr. Frank Andrews. I am a board certified internal medicine specialist. I did my training at my veterinary school training at Washington State University out in Pullman, Washington. Did a stint in private practice and a residency in internal medicine and surgery at the Ohio State University. And then spent 20 years at the University of Tennessee on the faculty. And then now recently I am a director and LBMA equine committee professor of equine medicine at the university or at Louisiana State University in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I've been there about 17 years. My interest in research and certain clinical medicine is mainly related to the GI tract, gastric ulcer disease. And we've done quite a bit of work with supplements, not as treatments, but as to maintain health in the stomach. So and also in the rest of the GI tract. So we never want to use a supplement to treat a disease, but certainly to make the horse healthier. And also we find that when people use supplements, they see their horse more frequently. Which is a really good thing, we find, because they have to administer those supplements too. So anyway, that's kind of, in a nutshell, what I do. Thank you very much, Haley.
Awesome, thank you. And Dr. Schatz, can you tell us a little bit about your background?
Yeah, absolutely. I am a graduate of the Kansas State University College of Veterinary Medicine. After I graduated from vet school, I did two internships. The first was at New Jersey Equine Clinic, and the second was at New Bolton Center. I did their rotating large animal internship there. After that, I did a research fellowship at New Bolton Center as well. And then I moved into private practice for several years. I've been at Smart Equine now for a little over 3 years, and I am currently the staff veterinarian here. I guess on a personal note, I live in North Carolina. I have a little horse farm here. Got a bunch of animals, including soon to be 3 thoroughbreds. I have one shipping down in 2 days, which is very exciting. And I'm also a thoroughbred aftercare advocate. So I do some volunteer work for both Kanger, Pennsylvania and Mid-Atlantic Horse Rescue as well.
Awesome. Thank you. Before we begin answering questions, I want to remind everyone of our Ask the Horse Live format. We're starting with questions submitted during registration. If you're listening live and would like to submit a question, please do so via the chat window. We'll do our best to get to as many of your questions as possible. If you're listening to the podcast recording of this event and would like to join us live in the future, please visit thehorse.com/AskTheHorseLive to register for notifications. And with that, we're going to jump in. So Dr. Andrews, our first question is for you, and it's from Jen in New Jersey, who wants to know how she can tell if a supplement is high quality and research-backed.
Okay, that's a very interesting and really appreciate your question. So first of all, what I usually recommend is that you kind of follow the RIDE acronym. So, I've added RIDEs. So we want to look at research how you can figure out whether there has been some research done in that particular ingredient is to use Google Scholar. It's fairly simple. You just log on to your internet connection and search Google Scholar, and then put in your what supplement you're interested in, what ingredient, and it usually lists all the scientific papers. The other thing you could do to look at research would be to go to the specific websites of a particular, I'll use W.F. Young Company. We did a study for them looking at turmeric and actually curcumin, which is a component of turmeric, and lameness in horses. And we did find that the curcumin did reduce lameness one grade in the group of horses that we looked at. So, looking at the particular website of the company, but you want to be sure that they're published in a refereed journal and that they have some data to back it up and it's not just a testimonial. And then you want to look at the ingredients. We typically, when choosing supplements, you want to choose a company that has a record of good ingredients and it's well known, and not just a sort of a fly-by-night company. And I'll use SmartPak Equine now, a very, very good company. They've been around a long time. They have to have certified ingredients in their products. And so you want to do that as well. And then you want to make sure that the dose is correct. Looking at the, and that's the RID part of the dose, making sure that the dose is correct, make sure that they have some information that the dose that you're giving in the supplement is certainly the dose that works for that particular horse. The efficacy, is it changing your horse's behavior or changing the lameness or whatever you're using this product for? Do you have the right efficacy? And it usually takes a fairly long time, maybe 2 to 3 months before you start seeing some effect. Now, in the study that we did for W.F. Young with the curcumin, it took 2 weeks and we did see improvement. And then also after 30 days, after 15 and 30 days. So sometimes those supplements can do a fairly good job fairly quickly. But in my experience, it usually takes a long time, 2 to 3 months before you start seeing improvement in your horse. And then the last thing, I add the S on there, is safety. Make sure that you use a reputable company so that you know that that supplement is safe and it doesn't have some ingredients that are going to be barred by, say, the FEI or some other organization when you show your horse and it gets drug tested and they find that it has something in there that is not sanctioned by that particular event. And I would check with the people that you work with, that you go to the horse shows, make sure that there aren't any barred substances that you're using that may be with a supplement. So looking at the research is very important, not just looking at testimonials on the website. So hopefully that answers your question.
Awesome. Thank you. Dr. Schatz, Anne in Connecticut asks if any supplements act as a multivitamin for horses, and if so, is that something that all horses need?
Yeah, that's a great question. So there are lots of supplements that are multivitamins. So in those supplements, you're going to find vitamins and minerals. I know, at Smart Equine, we have several options for multivitamins, depending on exactly what you're looking for, what you're using your horse for, if it's a senior horse, that kind of thing, you can sort of choose the best option for you. And then I also wanted to add in there about ration balancers. So multivitamins are going to just be vitamins and minerals, and then ration balancers also have protein. So you can actually feed a ration balancer sort of in place of grain if your horse doesn't need, a ton of calories or anything like that. Both of these options are going to fill nutritional gaps for your horse. You're going to consider feeding a multivitamin or a ration balancer if you're not feeding a full serving of fortified grain. So fortified grains are called that because they're fortified with vitamins and minerals, just like you hear fortified cereals. They're fortified with vitamins and minerals too for people. So same idea with fortified grains. So you're going to consider trying to fill any nutritional gaps if you're not feeding a full serving of a fortified grain. So not every horse is going to need something like that. And it's always a good idea to, you know, talk to your veterinarian or even an equine nutritionist if you have questions regarding whether your horse needs something like that in their diet.
Dr. Andrews, we already have a question from our live audience. It's from Deborah, who would like to know if it's safe to have your horse on an ulcer preventative supplement year round.
So yeah, that's a good question. Great question. There are several supplements that are available that basically the supplements either coat the stomach, like the beta-glucans or hyaluronic acid. One of the recent supplements that we looked at, Reline GI, or supplements like pectin and lecithin, which coat the GI tract. They don't really change the pH of the stomach very much, and those are very safe. And then there are also supplements that contain buffers, and usually they're bicarbonate buffers. Some people use Tums, which is calcium carbonate, and then some of the feeding companies like Purina have put an ingredient called Outlast in there, which buffers stomach contents in the horses. I don't think there's really any, nobody's found any negative things on any of those products in feeding your horse, you know, supplements that buffer the pH in the stomach. In other words, they buffer the acid in the stomach. The horse does very well on those supplements and doesn't seem to have any problems, you know, with diarrhea or with inability to absorb nutrient to absorb nutrients. And so it doesn't seem like, you know, we have any problems with using, you know, supplements long term. Now, what we would prefer is to use supplements rather than using long-term pharmacologic agents. But just to let you know that there are some horses that have gastric ulcers that have problems that are going to need to be on pharmacologic agents like Gastroguard or Ulcerguard at you know, various times in their life. So, but I think most of the supplements are pretty safe for long-term use. And the horse does make acid all the time. So, and especially if you have horses that are traveling to shows, they do, you know, when they're traveling, they don't drink a lot of water. And so that acid becomes very concentrated and can be a problem when they're not eating very much at the shows. So I don't think there's any problems with using supplements long-term that have the anti-ulcer type supplements in there.
Dr. Schatz, Lee in our live audience would like to know how much iron a horse needs in their diet in a day, and is it possible for them to have too much iron?
That is a great question that I don't actually know off the top of my head. I'm sure that they can get too much iron. I don't know what the daily requirement for a horse is for iron. Let me look into that for you.
We can also come back to this one, and we might be able to drop a link in the chat for everyone who wants to know like recommended amounts for minerals like that.
Yeah, I don't always have them off the top of my head, so I apologize about that. If you want to come back to that, we can, or whatever's easiest.
Absolutely, we'll come back to it. And we can come back to it if we don't have a link with the information to drop in the chat.
Okay.
I have another live question for you, Dr. Schatz, from Flavia in our live audience, who would like to know if there is a need for different supplements for different breeds and ages, or is it pretty similar across the board?
It just is going to depend on your specific horse and what you are using that horse for. Obviously, you know, I have two horses that are pasture pets, and they sort of get... Shockingly get a few supplements, but you know, a horse in hard work, a high performance horse, is going to need different supplementation than my pasture pets. So it's going to vary horse to horse and sort of which supplement exactly you might be asking about. So if it's something as simple as a vitamin mineral supplement, those might be similar versus, you know, if you're talking about a joint supplement, a pasture pet might need lower amounts of ingredients in a joint supplement versus a horse that's working really hard day to day. They might need different ingredients or more ingredients. So generally speaking, nutrients are going to be about the same. You know, maybe calories are going to be higher in horses that are working harder. But if we're talking about breeds, generally speaking, nutrient requirements are going to be about the same. Hopefully that answers that question.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah.
Dr. Andrews, Patricia in New Jersey asks how horse owners can tell if their animal might need a supplement.
That's a good question. That's a little bit difficult to answer. However, I think if your horse is on a fairly good diet, has a good forage supplement, good forage, eating good forage, and has a ration balancer, which Dr. Schatz, that's great to mention that, on a ration balancer, and maybe eats a little bit of grain. A horse doesn't need a whole lot of grain unless they're actually working very hard. That's probably all the horse really needs for nutrition. Now, if your horse has mild lameness, maybe you're a barrel racer or horse that's working hard maybe pole bending or you're riding the horse a lot on mountain trails and things like that, and the horse has some mild lameness, and maybe the horse gets some non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, or then using a joint supplement might be helpful in that horse. If you notice that the horse is lame, some of the supplements can be very effective in minimizing the lameness in those horses, making them feel better. If your horse has a poor hair coat, using a supplement just like corn oil, things like that might be helpful in making the coat better. Certainly putting the horse on zinc to help with the coat. So if the horse, you don't feel like the horse is getting all the nutrients or has an issue, maybe the hooves are having some problems too, and that's another thing where zinc is very good. Maybe they're more cracky than normal. Maybe when the farrier comes out, he makes a comment that, hey, maybe your horse would do better on a farrier, farrier food supplement, things like that, that may be the time to start a supplement. And also these horses that are prone to gastric ulcers, we do recommend if you're going to feed grain to those horses using the Outlast source of calcium carbonate to buffer stomach contents. So if you see an issue with your horse, talk with your veterinarian about some of the supplements that are available to address those problems, so you don't have to keep your horse on pharmacologic medications for the rest of their life.
Absolutely. And it looks like the answer to our iron question is that the maintenance iron requirement for a 1,000-pound horse is 400 milligrams per day. So
yeah,
and
that's
gonna
that'll be higher for examples like pregnant or lactating mare, but for the average 1,000-pound horse, it's about 400 milligrams per day.
Awesome. And Dr. Schatz, Karen in Kentucky wants to know what strains of probiotics are most effective in horses.
Great question. So for those in the audience that might not know what a probiotic is a live beneficial organism. So I always think the O in pro is organism. So that's how I remember that a probiotic is that live beneficial organism. These are the organisms that sort of live in the hindgut, and they're also referred to as the GI microbiome. That's a big buzzword these days. So a lot of the types that you'll see are things like lactobacillus, enterococcus, and then bacillus. And I guess I just want you to think more about the product and less about the strain. So we want to just make sure, you know, like Dr. Andrews was saying, that the quality of the product is really high, that we trust the company that that product is coming from, and that there might be research behind either the ingredients or the actual product itself. This is actually a very timely question because I was just at AAEP listening to some nutritional talks, and they brought up the fact that the hindgut requires a diversity of microorganisms. So we don't necessarily want to think about just one strain of probiotic. We want to think about a healthy, diverse population of microorganisms in that hindgut.
Dr. Andrews, Robin in Mississippi wants to know if a pony on a low starch and sugar feed who is kept on the dry lot could be deficient in any vitamins or minerals that might warrant supplementation.
Right. So that's a good question in that, you know, when we have these overweight ponies that we have to basically put on a diet, that they could be missing some of the minerals and vitamins and protein if they're on, you know, a low starch, low hay diet, and on a dry lot. So what we typically recommend is you don't want to add a bunch of calories. So as Dr. Schatz mentioned, using a ration balancer is very good because you get a little extra protein and then they get the vitamins and minerals that they need without, you know, tanking on a bunch of calories. So I would recommend that if your pony is in a dry lot and you're feeding, you know, giving it, put it on a diet with the low starch diet, that you probably add a ration balancer, and that can really help balance out the nutrition in that pony without having to gain a bunch of weight. You know, we need to keep our ponies lean, lean and mean, because we don't want them to develop laminitis, insulin resistance, things like that. So they're very prone to that, unfortunately.
Dr. Schatz, Anne in North Carolina says her horse is 26 years old and struggles to maintain a healthy weight. Are there any supplements that can be beneficial for a hard keeper?
Yeah, definitely. And I think this is something that a lot of people with older horses struggle with. So before we consider supplements, I just want to go through sort of the maintenance veterinary care that we want to make sure these horses are getting. First of which is dental care. So, you know, as they age, horses just start to lose their teeth. So we want to make sure that they're getting dental exams regularly. And usually when they're older, you know, between 25 and 30, we want to start looking in their mouth more often than just annually. So I would say every 6 months at that point. So regular dental exams and wellness exams, any routine blood work that your veterinarian thinks that your horse might need. All those things are just going to ensure that these horses are as healthy as possible and that they can, you know, chew their food in order to digest it efficiently. So some other things that we can think about before supplements are going to be things like hay pellets and chopped hay. These are going to be easier to obviously chew and process. And then rice bran and beet pulp, I always recommend for older horses that need a little bit of extra caloric support as well. Beet pulp in particular is low in NSC, which is non-structural carbohydrate, and high in fiber. So I love that for older horses as long as it's soaked appropriately. And then as long as we're doing all these things for our older horses, we can start to sort of think about supplements if they still need some support. So if we think that they are losing muscle or having a hard time maintaining their muscle, we can add amino acids. a lot of supplements contain amino acids. The limiting amino acids are lysine, methionine, and threonine. You can remember that because LMT and limit. These amino acids cannot be produced by the body and must be delivered in the diet. So amino acids help to build muscle. They are sort of the building blocks of muscle. And then if we think that they're having a hard time keeping fat on, their actual body fat, we can actually give them a fat supplement. So fat supplements are a great way to provide calories without providing a lot of other things, especially, you know, a lot of extra energy if we're just sort of dumping calories into them. And a lot of horses, you know, that may have metabolic concerns or something like that, you know, those horses can't take a lot of extra calories in the form of like sugars and starches. So we can provide those via a fat supplement, and you can provide those in like a powdered fat supplement or even an oil. So there are a lot of options to support our senior horses for sure. Again, you're always going to want to make sure that you're working with your veterinarian as your horse starts to age.
Dr. Andrews, Karen in our live audience would like to know what you think about using magnesium citrate to help lessen string halt symptoms. Is that effective?
Well, that's a good question. I'm not sure, you know, that certainly magnesium has a lot to do with helping, you know, build muscle and to help, you know, there's a lot of horses that might be deficient in magnesium. I don't know if there's a link to string halt in horses. We certainly think about calcium and magnesium and some of the other minerals that might be deficient, but I don't know if anybody's really come up with the etiology or the cause of string halt in horses. You know, if you're thinking about using a supplement for string halt, that's probably a condition that if you started a supplement, maybe with magnesium, you could monitor that horse and see if the horse improved on the supplement. But I'm not too familiar with the use of magnesium for string halt, but would be something that you probably should see some improvement. And I guess it depends on how severe the string halt is and how long it's been going on. Remember, as I spoke before, using a supplement for something like that may take a long time to start seeing some improvement, and the improvement may not be as dramatic as you'd like. And again, I would work with your veterinarian certainly to monitor the magnesium. I know most of the chemistry panels that we have now do have magnesium as part of the panel, and we do see a lot of horses that are bit low in magnesium and could benefit from a magnesium supplement. It does a lot for the body. And then make sure that the string halt that your horse has is, you know, not something else, that there's not some issue that is sort of underlying that's causing the string halt. But again, work with your veterinarian, and magnesium may be a good supplement to start with, and you probably would start seeing some improvement if it does work.
Dr. Schatz, we have a question from Kathy, who's also in our live audience. She has two 25-year-old horses that are on furocoxib daily, and she's wondering if there is a supplement that might help them. She can't seem to keep them sound enough to ride, but they're excellent pasture pets.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I think that this is a concern with a lot of older horses. Thankfully, we just found out that furocoxib, which is Equiox, can be very safe to use over the long term. So that's, you know, really comforting for me in, you know, for people that are using that to keep their older horses comfortable for sure. I would say that any joint supplement would be a good place to start. It's obviously going to depend on where their discomfort is. but a joint supplement or even a general support, or sorry, a general comfort support supplement would be great. You know, at Smart Equine, we have one that's got both joint, you know, your tried and true joint ingredients and also some general comfort ingredients. So those are going to be more of the herbal ingredients like Devil's Claw and Boswellia. The joint support ingredients are the ones that we all know and love, glucosamine, chondroitin, MSM, and hyaluronic acid. Any of those can benefit our older horses, you know, even if they're never sound enough or comfortable enough to be ridden or anything like that, it can definitely keep them happier in the pasture. And, you know, when they're more comfortable, they're more able to move around and graze and get to their water trough or water buckets. So it can keep them generally healthier as well. So it's a great thing to think about, you know, just trying to keep them as comfortable as possible in their older age.
Dr. Andrews, we have a question from Shashti in our live audience who would like to know, what is the current state of research on the bioavailability and overall efficacy of oral joint supplements such as MSM or HA? She says a lot of the research on oral joint supplements seems to be getting a bit older now.
Yes, again, excellent question. So we want to be sure, again, as we talk about supplements, we want to be sure that, you know, you consult your veterinarian on what the best supplement might be for especially horses as far as the joint supplements. And I was going to look up some of the, so if you're worried about bioavailability, which you should be when you're using glucosamine hydrochloride, because in the horse, they've shown that it really only has a bioavailability of between 2% and 6% oral bioavailability. So the glucosamine, I think, you know, it certainly could use that, but you have to realize that if that's an average from 2% to 6%, it's not going to be one of those things that is going to be, you're going to have to use a fairly high dose. Now the chondroitin sulfate, we want to use the low molecular weight chondroitin sulfate. It has a 32% oral bioavailability, and that would be maybe a little bit better to use rather than the glucosamines. One of the things that you have to, and that's why we ask you, you know, to use a supplement company that you know has to test and has to have a certificate that the actual concentration of the medication in there or the joint supplement is truly what is in there, because there was a study that showed that 40% of supplements tested contained less glucosamine than was listed on the label. So using a supplement company like Smart Equine, where they actually have certificates that say that the label ingredient is what's there. So, and using something like curcumin, like a turmeric product from the WF Young company, they have called Butylus Performance. That did reduce lameness in horses and help with joint. And these horses had a single limb, front limb lameness, arthritic changes in either the carpus or the fetlock. And it did improve them one grade. So I would say using a turmeric supplement might be helpful as well. And you want to be sure that there's some data on absorption. In other words, does it get from the GI tract into the blood and get into those joints where the arthritis is being caused? So again, I would maybe be a little reluctant to use a glucosamine unless there's a fairly high dose in it, whereas chondroitin sulfate might be better. And the other thing is you could discuss with your veterinarian about using something like Adequan. It is an injectable, and it does, you give it intramuscular. It is a medication, is a pharmaceutical agent, but it does diffuse into all the joints and improve the horse. And it may be something better, and you'd only have to give injections once every month or two. So that might be something that the veterinarian might recommend that would be even better. And you could certainly supplement with a chondroitin supplement, maybe the Tumorec, but utilize long-acting joint medications that could help that horse in the long run.
Dr. Schatz, Robert in Massachusetts wants to know if any supplements can help reduce cribbing.
Yeah, so this is a tough one. I've had cribbing horses in the past, and I know how frustrating that can be for owners. And you also just sort of want to figure out, you know, what, you know, is there anything that this horse is lacking? Is there anything that I can do, you know, to make them happier? Generally speaking, I'm going to say supplement-wise, there's not a whole lot that we can do. Again, we want to make sure that they have a good balanced diet and there aren't any dietary gaps there. But generally speaking, there's not anything supplement-wise that we can really do to address a cribbing problem. You know, for a long time, people have sort of debated whether it's a behavioral problem or a nutritional problem. We've never really pinned down a specific nutritional issue. In a lot of horses, it is just a behavioral issue. So those horses might need a management change, such as more turnout or exercise, enrichment items. You can add stall toys, hay balls, things like that. But unfortunately, some horses will just crib no matter what you try. Certainly the two that I've had that have been pretty bad cribbers, I tried so many things and they would crib no matter what I tried. So that can be very frustrating, especially if you're in a boarding facility where they're causing some damage to the facilities there. But yeah, I wish I had a better answer for you, Robert, but there's not a really straightforward answer to trying to figure out what would make cribbing horses happier.
There was some comments that gastric ulcers caused cribbing in horses. There was a couple of publications, a couple of anecdotal comments, but that's kind of been proven not to be correct. So I don't think you can just treat them with anti-ulcer medications. Could be that they get ulcers as a result of cribbing because they're stressed out or something, but it doesn't seem like if you treat them with anti-ulcer medications, they stop cribbing. So just to be aware of that.
Yeah, and that's a great point. I mean, you also want to make sure that there's nothing physically that's bothering them. Certainly, that's a great point. Dr. Andrews, thank you for chiming in there.
Dr. Andrews, Isabel in Puerto Rico asks if supplement companies have to disclose every ingredient on their labels, and if not, why?
Okay, so the good supplement companies that are accredited. There's a couple of accredited bodies, and one of them is the National Animal Supplement Council, which looks at the quality of supplements. And then there's also a feed, a company that evaluates feed for the supplements. And those ingredients have to be, they have to disclose the supplements that are in there, not only the active ingredients, but also the inert ingredients that they're using for binders or whatever, and that don't have necessarily have the supplement in there. So I do think it's important that if the supplement companies disclose, and they should disclose what's in the supplement. If you have a supplement where they don't disclose all the information on what's in their supplement, those you should stay away from those. We've had several people come up and ask me to do some studies on supplements. The first thing I ask them is, well, we need to get the ingredients that we need to send those off and get a company to evaluate what ingredients are in that supplement. And if the person that's wanting us to look at that supplement doesn't say, okay, yeah, let's get an idea. I had one guy say, oh, I don't want to know what's in it. It just seems to work. That's a red flag, at least in my in my thoughts. And Dr. Schatz might be able to give us a little bit more information on the Smart Equine on their certification process.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, the one that we follow for all of our supplements is the NASC, like Dr. Andrews was saying, the National Animal Supplement Council. They have very stringent rules and guidelines, and you know, every change that we make has to go through you know, certain steps. So you know, labels are audited all the time. So definitely I would say if you are looking at supplements to make sure that the company that you're looking at is a member of the NASC for sure.
Dr. Schatz, Sandra in Virginia wants to know if it's important to follow the storage temperature guidelines on supplement packages. What can happen to the product if exposed to extreme heat or cold?
Yeah, that's a great question. So yes, I would say generally speaking, please follow the storage guidelines on packages, particularly liquids. Liquids are going to be the most when exposed to extreme heat and cold, they're going to be the most affected. So you know, a liquid can freeze solid, and then if they get too hot, they can definitely sort of start to degrade. So that's what happens. Extreme temperatures are going to cause the ingredients within those supplements to start to degrade, and that's going to affect the potency of the ingredients and therefore, you know, the entire supplement. So I would definitely, whatever the package is saying, you know, store in a cool, dry place is what they normally say. For sure, if it's winter like it is right now and the temperatures are going below freezing, particularly if you have liquid supplements, I would bring them in the house if possible, or at least store them in the warmest spot possible because they will freeze and that can cause a lot of problems.
Dr. Andrews, Patricia in our live audience would like to know if vitamin E and selenium are a well-researched solution to provide antioxidants and strengthen the immune system.
Yes, vitamin E and selenium are excellent antioxidants, and they certainly do help with the immune system. They're mainly antioxidants, and they're essential for the horse. Obviously, the horse should have vitamin E and should have selenium in its diet. When you get up in the Pacific Northwest, that's a selenium deficient area, and every horse should be on a selenium supplement in those areas. And then we do have some areas of the country in the south, we have adequate selenium, but there are some areas where they have maybe a little bit more selenium in the soil, which transfers the selenium to any of the grasses, increases that selenium. So probably not at a toxic level, and there are some plants that do block that have selenium in there as well. But yes, vitamin E and selenium are excellent antioxidants. And a lot of times when we see horses with immune system issues, and also with that a lot of our EPM horses, you know, horses that have equine protozoomyelitis, have neurologic disease. We use a lot of vitamin E in those horses at the really high level. And we do have some diseases if you have a real low vitamin E level. You know, you could, you know, get issues with the horses having tremors. And especially those horses that are quarter horses that don't have exposure to a lot of the green grass. Green grass has a lot of vitamin E in it. Yeah, but if they're just on dry hay, especially hay that's been cut, maybe third or fourth cut hay, and they don't get a lot of sunlight, you know, vitamin E it can be fairly low in those horses. So vitamin E and selenium are excellent to use in a supplement, and you should make sure that you, if you think you might have a deficient area, then getting your horse tested for vitamin E and for selenium would be helpful. And there are blood tests that you can, your veterinarian can draw a quick blood sample and send those off And if your horse is deficient in either one of those, it should be supplemented.
Dr. Schatz, Lynn in our live audience says her horse sweats freely and easily, especially in the hot Tennessee summers. But last summer, he seemed to cramp up in his hindquarters. So her vet suggested electrolytes and a tube of Pace electrolytes relieve those symptoms. And since then, she's given him powdered electrolytes with his feet. It seems that the electrolytes she's giving are predominantly sodium chloride and some dextrose. Do you have any guidance on choosing electrolytes and appropriate dosage for that?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I'm sorry that her horse was having an issue. Certainly, horses can have lots of sweat-related issues, particularly when they're working hard in the really hot weather. So what I personally look for in an electrolyte is sort of all the things that they lose in their sweat. So that's sodium chloride, and then potassium, calcium, and magnesium. Again, just like all the other supplements that we've been discussing, you want to make sure that it's high quality. You want to make sure that it's palatable, that your horse will actually eat it. I prefer to put them on grain and not in water. Because if you put it on their grain, you can make sure that they're eating it. Sometimes if you put a powdered electrolyte in a water bucket, they might be less likely to drink it because of the, you know, if it's got a flavor to it or something like that, but particularly because you don't know how much of it that they're actually getting. Again, sodium chloride, potassium, calcium, and magnesium are sort of the handful of things that they lose when they sweat. So we want to make sure that we're replacing those when we give them an electrolyte supplement. And then just remember your hardworking horses, your high sweating horses might need more. So, you know, like our listener was saying, you may need to add an additional product. So, you know, there's daily powder and pellet options, but then you can give something like an additional paste if your horse requires a little bit extra when it's, you know, especially hot out and they're losing a lot of sweat.
And there is a product called Gallagher's water. I don't know if the people on this webinar have heard about that, but it is an alfalfa-based electrolyte supplement, and it can be added to the water. And horses, we did a study with them, and the horses drank 30 liters more water than the horses that were just on straight water. So, but it's something that has electrolytes and it has an alfalfa flavor. And so the horses really like it, and they actually try to chew the water, which is quite interesting. But I do agree that if you're going to use a regular supplement that has electrolytes in it, you want to add it to the feed. This is one that's fairly unique, adding it to water. The horses really like that.
Yeah, Gallagher's water is a great product. Just talking to the Gallagher's water folks at AEP. It's a great product. They're actually coming out with a couple more options for horses. Those are great products for horses that don't like to drink necessarily when it's hot. So yeah, thank you for adding that, Dr. Andrews. That's a great product. There are a handful of products like that on the market that encourage horses to drink when they're sweating a lot. But Gallagher's water is a really good example of that.
Yeah, I think the product they're coming out with is a smoothie. They call it the alfalfa smoothie. And it can help when the horses are traveling as well, because it does stay in the stomach a little while longer. And so it will help the horses with their, you know, maintaining some fill in their stomach if they're not really big eaters. So, yeah, Melissa and Don, they're great. They're the ones who started the company, and they're just a wonderful, you know, they have a wonderful philosophy on, you know, treating the horses, especially the ones that have sweating issues and in the hot weather.
Yeah, they're great. Yeah. They really started the company because they care about horses. So that's always good to know.
Dr. Schatz, Candace would like to know if there are any supplements that could benefit horses with PPID or other metabolic problems.
Yeah, so this is definitely a loaded question, but thank you for the question, Candace. So I'm going to say yes as an overarching answer here. But like I said, it's a very loaded question. So PPID is equine Cushing's. And then the other thing that we think about as far as equine metabolic issues is equine metabolic syndrome. So they're quite different disorders or syndromes. And because these are disorders, again, we want to make sure that you're working with your veterinarian to make sure that your specific horse's needs are being met. But some examples of ingredients that you'll see in supplements for supporting horses with these type of disorders. PPID, a lot of times you'll see chaseberry. Chaseberry can help support endocrine function in these horses. And then equine metabolic syndrome, you'll see chromium and magnesium especially to help support insulin function in these horses. And they also require low NSC or non-structural carbohydrates. Again, those are the sugars and starches in their diet. Just like with everything else, we want to make sure that those horses have a balanced diet. And then, you know, for the PPID, for those Cushing's horses, they get a lot of other sort of weird, like they start to lose their muscle and they start to get that long, shaggy hair coat. So there are ingredients that can support their muscle. Again, like I was saying, amino acids can help support, you know, their muscle to try to maintain that muscle for them. So there are a lot of options to try to help those horses. Again, you know, none of those things are meant to replace veterinary care or veterinary treatment or medications in those cases though. So, you know, just work closely with your veterinarian if you do have a horse that has one of these disorders, just to make sure that we're addressing everything to give your horse the best care that we can possibly give him or her.
Dr. Andrews, Linda in our live audience would like to know if there's any research out there for supplements that might help a horse with cellulitis.
Wow, with cellulitis. I don't know of anything, you know, cellulitis is a very difficult thing to treat. I think every time we have a horse that comes into LSU that has cellulitis, you know, we're not sure, first of all, what causes a cellulitis, and then, you know, and I think, you know, what I would recommend is certainly working with your veterinarian on, you know, the cause of the cellulitis, and then, you know, going from there and make sure it's not a medical cause. We do have horses that, you know, get puncture wounds, things like that, you know, cause that cellulitis, and we want to make sure we've ruled out all those things. But I don't know of anything, any particular supplement that is really good as far as treating or at least, you know, helping us as far as cellulitis goes. There are some medications and certainly wrapping the limbs, making sure obviously they don't have a puncture wound or have some underlying issues going on, and make sure that they don't have some blood flow issues in that limb. But certainly wrapping and using hosing those limbs off. But I don't know of any. Maybe Dr. Schott has some supplements that might be helpful in cellulitis. But I would say, you know, wrapping and medical treatment might be better than to use a supplement.
Yeah, I definitely agree, Dr. Andrews. You know, most of the cellulitis cases that I've seen and treated in practice have just been, you know, most likely a bacterial infection under the skin. So, you know, again, short of just making sure that they have, again, a balanced diet, that they're in generally good health. There's really not a supplement that's going to address that kind of issue. It's going to be more of a medical treatment, just like Dr. Andrews was saying.
Dr. Schatz, this is going to be our last question of the night, and it's very timely with where we are right now in the horse world. It's from Judy in Nebraska, who would like to know if there are any supplements that can help strengthen the horse's immune system, especially in the face of an equine herpes virus outbreak.
Yeah, that's a great question, and I know that this is coming up a lot. I've seen a lot of these questions, you know, online, and I've had a few people ask me as well. So, well, I will say that there are supplements that can help support the immune system in a horse, and I can kind of go through those ingredients. I will say that this is not something that we're going to want to rely on a ton in the face of the EHV1 outbreak that we are in the midst of at the moment. So yes, we can support the immune system. Some of my favorite ingredients are things like adaptogenic herbs, antioxidants, and even mushroom extracts. I personally have had some really good results with a mushroom extract supplement in one of my horses to help his immune system a little bit. Now, I know that there has been some talk about lysine. And, you know, I've seen a lot of back and forth about lysine online, particularly when talking about EHV1. Lysine, again, is an amino acid. It's used in humans and cats to treat different herpes viruses, and not really treat, even, is not really the right word. So lysine competes with arginine. And viruses need, especially herpes viruses, need arginine to replicate. So the thought is that if you're giving lysine, then it's outcompeting the arginine that the viruses need. However, I will say that there's no research in horses on lysine for this particular use. So I definitely cannot recommend it necessarily in this case. Once again, you're going to make sure that your horse has the best balanced diet that you can give it, that it's in the best general health that it can be. We want to make sure that we're decreasing any stress in their environment. And the most important thing in the face of something like this outbreak is biosecurity. So, you know, you're going to make sure that you're listening to your veterinarian, to your state veterinarian, listen to what they're saying about transporting horses and about horse handling, you know, even when it comes to coming and going from your farm or boarding facility, and you know, whether or not they recommend traveling to things like horse shows.
Yeah, I will add one more thing here. We actually did a study for a SmartPak a number of years ago that actually is, we're just trying to get it published using ginseng. We actually looked at some behavioral, we tried to look at some behavioral issues with the ginseng because we were concerned about hypertension, maybe the horses being more active with the ginseng. We didn't find that. The horses really didn't have any change from the controls. One thing, there was a paper published where horses that were vaccinated for equine herpes virus 1, they did have higher antibody concentrations when they were fed ginseng, the Siberian ginseng. So not that, you know, that, and that was a refereed publication. So, you know, but I would agree with Dr. Schott is that, you know, making sure that biosecurity is the most important thing, and make sure that your horses are vaccinated for EHV1. And, you know, when you're going to these shows, because anything can happen, and you want to be sure that they're vaccinated. But the ginseng did seem to help increase the antibody concentrations after vaccination. So it could be something that you could try to maybe be a little bit better. It's an antioxidant as well. That's an adaptogen, as Dr. Schott mentioned.
That's great to know. Thank you, Dr. Andrews.
Well, that's all the time we have for tonight, but we've covered a lot, and I hope our listeners have learned as much as I have. Thank you both, Dr. Andrews and Dr. Schatz, for joining me.
Thank you so much for having us. This was great.
Yeah, thank you very much, Haley, and we appreciate being asked to talk about supplements. Certainly an important part of any horse's diet.
And thank you to Smart Equine for sponsoring this event. Finally, thank you to our audience for listening and sending in all of these questions, especially our live audience. We've gotten a lot of live questions tonight. If you're listening to us after the live event as a podcast episode, please rate, review, subscribe, and recommend Ask the Horse Live to a friend. Until next time, from everyone at the horse, have a great night.